Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. The second chapter of Matthew records the birth of Jesus Christ and the surrounding events of that momentous occasion. The birth of Christ by the Virgin Mary brought forth songs of praise from the angels, made the shepherds rejoice, and the wise men came bringing gifts and worshiping. The prophecies of old were fulfilled, and deity took on the form of humanity. But at the time of the birth of Christ, the Son of God, that very birth struck terror in the hearts of some, and it brought danger to them. And while we usually do not associate Jesus, the lowly Nazarene and a loving Savior of mankind, as a source of danger and a threat, yet he was so perceived by some at his birth, and even yet by many today. Herod was troubled when he learned of his birth from the wise men, and he deceptively sought to know his whereabouts, under the guise of wishing to worship him, but actually seeking opportunity to kill him. So vicious was he that Joseph, being warned to flee the land, took Mary and the child to Egypt until Herod's death. And when they returned, they went not to Jerusalem, but north to the insignificant village of Nazareth, where he grew to manhood. For some, the glorious Savior in Christ is a deliverer, a provider of hope and joy and peace and salvation. But for others, he is a disturber who startles and confounds and resists, and who condemns the wickedness that they practice. While it may seem incredible that the one born in Bethlehem is a danger to anyone, it was so considered about him from the moment of his birth even until now. But for whom is Jesus Christ a danger? Well, let us mention just four groups of people. Christ poses a threat and a hazard to those who have a closed mind or prejudiced heart, those who have their own little world, their thoughts and doctrines, and who would not allow what they believe even to be investigated in the light of the Bible, the Word of God. What they hear from Jesus disturbs them, because it means they are in error, and they wish to continue as they are, but undisturbed. Error cannot withstand the truth, and those in error are fearful of the truth. A closed mind often caused Israel to depart from the Lord. In Ezekiel 3 and verse 7, "And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. Open thy mouth, and eat that I give thee." Israel often would refuse to listen to the message of God that God sent through the prophets. A closed mind prevented Herod and others from realizing the truth that had been foretold by the prophets. Nathanael had a closed mind and prejudiced heart right at the first, when he was first told of the coming of Christ. He said, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" One of the blind spots of the scribes and the Pharisees was a closed mind. In John 12, verse 39 and 40, "Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them." Jesus was often grieved and angered at their hardness. In Mark 5 and verse 3, "And when he looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, Stretch forth thy hand, and he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other." But friend, we're still warned against a hardened heart and a closed mind. Hebrews 3 and verse 8, "Harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness." Our Lord has not fellowship with those who close their minds against the truth. Only those of honest and good heart will maintain communion with the Lord. And Christ is also a danger to the selfish, who seek their own gain and exercise their greed, even though the exploitation of others is necessary to have what they want. But the selfless Christ is not pleased with a selfish person. Yet so many seem to live life to get for themselves, and they have no concern for others. They would even sacrifice their duty to God in order to have more of the paltry offerings of this world. What must the Lord think of anyone who would traffic in sin, selling and promoting wickedness and immorality and disease and strong drink, harmful drugs, smutty literature, more on and on just to get more money. Those who are the merchants of vice may be considered somewhat in the eyes of their fellow men, but the contrast between their manner of life and that which Jesus taught should make them very uncomfortable. Indeed, it makes them so uncomfortable that they consider Christ a danger. They have no liking for this Christ that was born in Bethlehem. And again, Christ is a danger to those who are only casually and formally religious. Inasmuch as we are among the religious people of the world, we should take a close look at ourselves. Is our service to God sincere? Is it sacrificial? Is it wholehearted? That little babe born in the manger grew to become a very outspoken opponent of pretense and hypocrisy. Hosea 6 and verse 6 says, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice." God was not rejecting the need of sacrifice as he had commanded, but he emphasized that worship must be coupled with righteous living. Many are religious, but not righteous. Proverbs 15 and verse 8, "The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight." Again from Proverbs 28 and verse 9, "He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination." Friend, there are no stronger words to be read in Scripture than the denunciation by Jesus of the hypocrisy found in Matthew chapter 23. How he condemned those who put on a display of being religious, but who followed their own ways more than the ways of God, who wanted everyone to think them pious, but who were wicked within. Jesus said they were full of iniquity. Outwardly they might appear prim and proper, but corrupt and rotten of spirit. They were as vipers and serpents. He called them children of hell. And why did the Lord speak so harshly toward these hypocrites? Did he hate them? No, he did not hate them. He loved them even while he hated their sin. Christ showed himself a danger to those who would make a show of religion, whose faith was more word than work, and convenience rather than conviction, one of pride rather than personal devotion, who served out of a compulsion rather than out of compassion, who served God more from a fear of hell than from a love of God. And fourthly, Christ is also a danger to those who choose to live an immoral, defiant, rebellious, and disobedient life. The entire mission of Christ was to do battle with evil because he knew that evil is man's worst enemy. His love for man would allow him no other course than to resist the devil and his influence. The work of Christ, even as our work after him, consists of a spiritual warfare against the forces of wickedness wherever wickedness is found. Those who choose the side of wrong against the Lord shall be eternally punished, 2 Thessalonians 1, 6-9. And Christ came not to judge and to condemn the world, but to be man's Savior, John 12 and verse 47. But in that same passage, Jesus said his word would judge, and those who rejected his word would be condemned. God will judge through Christ, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 11, Acts 17, 31. And while he saves, he shakes and he startles those in sin. He makes us uncomfortable in complacency and fearful of our selfishness. He can be our salvation, or he can be the means to settle our separation from God eternally. He will either be my redeemer or my ruin. And friend, the same is true for you, depending upon our individual response to him. We do ourselves a favor to ask, will Christ be a danger to me or a deliverer? For him to deliver us, we must come to him in obedience to the gospel. We must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said, "Except ye believe that I am he, ye shall die in your sins," John 8 and verse 24. Jesus said, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish," Luke 13 and verse 3. Jesus said, "If you will confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father, which is in heaven," Luke 12, 8 and 9. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved," Mark 16, 16. Jesus said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life," Revelation 2 and verse 10. Faith, repentance, confession, baptism, and a life of faithfulness is the way for our Lord to be a deliverer. He will be no threat to such as those who follow His will, but He will be a dangerous Christ to those who rebel against Him. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.